Tonight's topic is about tefillah and being able to communicate with the Kaddish Baruch. We need Nashim Tzadkani Asasa. Thank you. Thanks for coming. So before we talk about our ability to communicate with the Kaddish Baruch and the means of us to talk to Hashem and to hear back from Hashem, I figured before we talk about Hashem, let's talk about the Lord. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, the Lord, former chief rabbi. I'll tell you an amazing story that I once heard from him. He said that at the time he became chief rabbi, in the UK, the Archbishop of Canterbury had also just been elected, Dr. George Carey. And it was a big time, regardless of, I guess, what faith or what religion you followed. It was an exciting time. And it happened to be that there was a major soccer match coming up. And it also happened to be that Rabbi Sacks is a serious soccer fan. He follows the Arsenal Football Club. Football, of course, in Europe means soccer. As does this Dr. George Carey, who had just been appointed the Archbishop of Canterbury. And they were invited, these two chashuv individuals, to come to Highbury Stadium and to sit in the box and to watch the game. And it was a whole production. They brought the two of them down onto the field before the game. And they recited a prayer on behalf of Arsenal, their favorite team. And they donated one of those big checks on the field to charity. It was a big to-do. And everyone said, you know, tonight is Arsenal's night for sure. You have two people praying for them, offering charity on the field for them. Arsenal for sure is going to win. And lo and behold, Manchester United, their arch rival, defeated them 6-2. It was their worst loss in 63 years. And someone wrote in the newspaper the next day, in the diary column of one of the local newspapers the next day, if the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Chief Rabbi, between them cannot bring about a win for Arsenal, does this not finally prove that God does not exist? That's what someone wrote in the editorial column the next day. So of course, the Lord, Rabbi Sacks, in his unique way, wrote back. He replied the very next day. He said, to the contrary, what it proves is that God exists. It's just that he's a fan of Manchester United. Hashem's apparently a Manchester United fan. But it's a good story to open with, and it really touches on really the question that every Jew thinks about. Because we spend a lot of time davening. And we spend a lot of time davening for all sorts of things. And very often there's this feeling that my tefillos are not being powel, that they're not working, that they're not achieving what they're meant to achieve. And it can be a very frustrating experience for a Jew who time and time again gets up and talks to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and petitions a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And it's very hard to see how we're doing. We don't often feel that we have results that are clear in any way, shape, or form. And now we find ourselves in that period right after Tisha B'Av. We're heading towards Shabbos Nachamu. And we spent all of Tisha B'Av davening and hopefully crying some tears and trying to think about the Beis HaMikdash and to talk about Mashiach and to be very Geula-oriented. And now we come to Shabbos Nachamu and there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no Mashiach. And we're trying to figure out, did we accomplish anything this Tisha B'Av? Or Rachman al-Islan, was it like Tisha B'Av of the past? Were the Tisha B'Av of the past a failure as well? And there's this heavy feeling that sets in, like we keep trying, and we're davening, and we're petitioning, and we're asking for the right things. We're not davening for a soccer team. We're davening for the Geula Shleima, and yet a Kaddish Baruch Hu seems to push us away time and time again. Now I want to start in the first source by just highlighting the role of tefillah in its connection to Tisha B'Av, and really the fixing of the Chorban. Because very often when we think about tefillah this time of the year, as we start to move forward, we think of tefillah in terms of the Yom Noran. We think about everything we're going to ask for and beg for on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But the truth is the role of tefillah and fixing tefillah, correcting sort of a lack of a proper tefillah, actually plays a critical role in the Chorban and in the potential for the Geula. Rav Yonasan Eibschitz was one of the great Torah minds of his time in the late 1600s. He was a tremendous posek. He wrote on Choshen Mishpat, he wrote on Yoredeya, Kresi Uplesi. But he also wrote a beautiful two-volume work of Drush, called the Yaros Dvash. So let's take a look in source number one, in the Yaros Dvash, in the first Chelek in Drush Dalet, where he describes really what were we mourning on Tisha B'Av, and what in particular, which Beis HaMikdash were we mourning, and what in particular went wrong with that Beis HaMikdash that we're trying to correct. He says it a really amazing thing. Amnam kvar amarti ki ikar galus bayis sheni haye b'shvil rishon. The truth is, and again this is debated amongst different Sfarim, are we mourning primarily Chorban Bayis Sheni on Tisha B'Av today? Are we mourning Chorban Bayis Rishon today? Are we mourning a combination of the two? Says Rav Yonasan Eibschitz, and I would suggest, based on what I've seen, that this is probably a more minority opinion. He says, really, we're really mourning, we're trying to fix what went wrong by Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni is really a carryover from Bayis Rishon, and he says, "Va'avonam savlanu rak bechesed Hashem shayse bekida b'neim kanis kalel." He says, as I explained earlier in this drasha, Hashem gave us a little bit of a break, so to speak, to carry us on. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a similar notion, that really the rebuilding of the second base of Mikdash was just to give us a little chizuk, but then really to go back out there and try to fix what was wrong all along. As if to say that the real tikkun that's necessary is what went wrong by Chorban Bayis Rishon. So what went wrong by Bayis Rishon? So he says in the second line where it's underlined, V'nei kol chit Bayis Rishon shelo korau la'Hashem klal. Apparently, tefillah was part of the big issue that led to Chorban Bayis Rishon. Now again, you look in Chazal, there's different opinions, what exactly was the chait, what exactly was the shortcoming. But he says here, no one called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time. And he quotes a variety of interesting psukim. And a Gemara in Chulin. Kidichsiv ochle ami ochlu lechem Hashem lo karau. People aren't calling to Hashem. He quotes from Yeshaya Navi. V'chein Yeshaya was screaming, V'lo osi karasa Yaakov. People stopped talking to me. People stopped communicating with me. The base Hashem, the base of Mikdash, is the base of tefillah. So if people aren't communicating with Hashem, it's not so shocking that such a bias would be taken away from us. In the fourth line, he quotes a Gemara in Chulin. Very interesting. The Gemara in Chulin says, "Amrinan ki nitan lekohanim zroa keneged v'yikach Pinchas romach." Each of the different things that were offered to the kohanim, the matnos kohuna, the presents that we give from our animals, from our sacrifices to the kohen, each correspond to something specific that Pinchas did. So when Pinchas took a spear in his hand, he used his hand to serve Hashem. So too the zroa, the forearm, is given to the kohen. Pinchas stabbed Cosby and Zimri in their stomach, and there so too the keva is given to the kohanim. It says where it's bolded, v'lechayim, the jaw, right? The jaw. Keneged v'yamud Pinchas v'yifal. Pinchas got up and he davened, which means that the lechi, the cheeks, the jaw, somehow is very deeply connected to tefillah. Now says Rav Yonasan Aibshitz with his great bekias, he ties it all together, and he says, let's go back to what Yirmiyahu wrote at the beginning of Migdal Seicha, dimasa alechya. Tears al lechia, tears on the cheeks. Well, if cheeks corresponds to tefillah, v'yamud Pinchas v'yifaleh, Pinchas got up and he davened, that's why kohanim are zocha to that part of the animal. So apparently, dimasa lechia, crying over the cheeks, means that part of the chorban had to do with a failure to use our cheeks, to use our mouth, to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he says, that bitul tefillah, he says at the end of that first large paragraph, where it's bolded, v'zeh alechya, al bitul tefillah v'tzakal Hashem. By failing to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that brought about the chorban. By Yesheni, again, was really just a respite for your Klal Yisrael to be mechazik themselves, but then to go right back to working on the ikar problem, which was a failure to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says in the second paragraph, v'ru na lakama magia. Look how far tefillah goes. This is what caused them to have the gzar din. They weren't talking to Hashem. Rabbi Yonasan Aibshitz, in his typical strong language, says a person needs to be very diligent, very vigilant about tefillah. Because what else do we have? We lost the place of communication with Hashem, but at the very least we should try long-distance communication to maintain some contact. V'ein lanu avoda, we don't have avoda anymore. V'zeh avoda, and this is avoda. So how can we not take the opportunity in a shul, or even outside a shul, to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? How can we not take that seriously? And he concludes in that last section where it's bolded by quoting the pasuk, Sakosa v'anan loch me'avor tefillah. He quotes in Eicha in the third parak, Sakosa v'anan loch. There's, so to speak, there's some type of cloud that's preventing me'avor tefillah, that's blocking tefillah from going up. Where does that cloud come from? Says Rav Yonasan Aibshitz, "Umahu ha'anan, hu adim v'hevel sheyesh bo chet hayotzi mipi ish v'isha kol yom." It's the idle chatter, it's the lashon hara spoken between husband and wife, between friends. "Uve'yichud sicha b'teil lebis knesses." It's the fact that people come to shul to socialize more than they come to daven. When we call shekein be'is tefillah, rachmana letzlan, someone talks during tefillah itself, that breath, like when we go outside on a cold day and you see the clouds being formed by your own breath, the own vapor of emerging from your mouth, he says that creates a blockage that when it comes time to actually daven, the tefillahs don't go up. But he ends on a positive note and he says it's possible if a person can muster the strength to daven a true tefillah, then it's possible, he says in the final few words, Malakol tefilas mekama shanim. If a person could push through that cloud, so to speak, then we could somehow rectify many years of tefilos that were not able to be ola. So this is a big part of what we're trying to fix in Galus. So again, I ask you, it's after Tisha B'Av, we're heading towards Shabbos Nachmu. We spent a day kinos. That's hard tefilos. That's a lot of tefilos, right? And the question becomes: if there's no Beis Hamikdash, if there's no Mashiach, were our tefilos in vain? And to say it even more directly, so then what's the nechama of this Shabbos? Where's the potential for nechama if, again, we're exactly where we started before Tisha B'Av even began? So I want to look together at a piece from Rav Leibel Eger. In source number 2, Rav Leibel Eger was the grandson of the great Gaon Rabbi Akiva Eger, the son of Rav Shlomo Eger. Rav Leibel veered a little bit from his family tradition and became attracted to some of the centers of Hasidic learning and living. And he has a beautiful piece here on Shabbos Nachmu. I know it's a lengthier piece. The print is not so easy to read, but feel free to try to follow along. We'll try to move through it quickly. He says, it's interesting to note that Shabbos Nachmu always, always coincides with Parshas Ve'eschanan. And the question is why? What does Ve'eschanan mean? What does the name of the Parsha mean? Where does it come from? B'chol Hashanim Korin Parshas Ve'eschanan B'Shabbos Nachmu U'Bevadai Einu B'Mikra. It's not by chance. There's no way that it's by chance. Again, we know that the Kriya, the Svarim say, the Kriya is Ma'or the Zaman, that whatever's happening in the Parsha is connected to the calendar and vice versa. So if every year after Tisha B'Av, we're reading Ve'eschanan, well, we have to try to understand what the message is. It's a Parsha of Tefillah. It's a Parsha of rejected Tefillah, successful Tefillah. So let's see. Says Rav Leibel. V'yesh smach gadol la'smichas hazeh. He says in the third line, there's what to make sense of this. V'yesh lomar behektim lahavin kriyas shem asidra hazos ve'eschanan. The very name of the parsha, which is called for the tefilas of Moshe. I pleaded with Hashem. Shebevade kol sidra nichlo b'shma kol tochen inyana. The name of the parsha, just like a person's name, carries, so to speak, your mission in this world, your tafkid in this world, as the Svarim explain. When a parent, the Arizal says, when the parents have the ability at the time a child is born to name a child, whether they realize it or whether it's taking place almost subconsciously, the parents are imbuing that child with his or her mission in this world. So the Parsha, the name of the Parsha, so to speak, carries with it all of the energy of the Parsha, all of the message of the Parsha, the tafkid of the Parsha, the Eschanan, that's the Parsha, to plead with Hashem. Uma gam b'sidra zo b'vadai romeis Hashem azel inin asidra shenimtza b'koach inin atfila. So certainly this word, which is a word which implies a very strong and powerful tefillah, is must be connected deeply to the essence of the parsha. V'inei l'misha holich b'tfisa sichlo b'vadei lo yireh b'parsha zu kolach tefillah. The obvious question, says Rav Leibel, is as you begin the parsha, and Moshe begins his pleading with Hashem, and is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rav Lach, please stop davening. I'm not interested in letting you go into Eretz Yisrael. You can look at Eretz Yisrael from a distance, but you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. So again, it's a strange message. This is a parsha of tefillah. It's a parsha of failed tefillah. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to take from this parsha? Again, according to the Seichel HaAdam, according to our human intellect, a simple read of the parsha leaves us feeling very broken and very, very much like failures when it comes to tefillah. And you might walk away from the parsha saying exactly that, the tefillah doesn't work. It doesn't help, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't help, it doesn't do anything. Gam im yamin ba'ashkocha, even if we're someone who believes in Ashkocha Pratis. Now I'm not gonna Stefan Rabbi Leibowitz's toast. Everyone knows he wrote a book on Ashkocha Pratis. Right? But if we believe in Ashkocha, even if we take, let's say, a more rationalist Rambam approach as opposed to a Baal Shem Tov approach to Ashkocha, certainly tzaddikim, the loftier you are, the higher you are in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's esteem, in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, the more Hashem provides for you. The more Hashem responds directly to you. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not a lightweight. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shel Yisrael, ki harei Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom Muvchar Min HaAnoshi. Moshe says, if anyone's going to be able to get a response from Hashem, it's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Kama tefilos asa b'she'ila achas ketana sheyichlos la'aretz Yisrael kechol adas Yisrael. A tiny request, so many tefilos, as we'll see, and all he wants to do is do what the rest of Klal Yisrael are doing, which is enter Eretz Yisrael. So you walk away from such a parsha and you say, where's the power of tefillah? How are we to make sense of tefillah? This is parshas ve'eschanan. This is the message after Tisha B'Av. It's hammering home the fact that what? That we failed? So he goes on and he explains. He says, certainly we all are mature enough to understand that when we daven for things in Gashmias, we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the scorecard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows sometimes. When we ask for something in Gashmias, a person says, I want a new car, I want a better job, I want a bigger house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows if that's good for us or not good for us. And I trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he rejects such a tefillah, okay, I can at least understand, well, you know, maybe if I have too much wealth, I'll get myself into trouble. But what about when I daven for Ruchnias? Why did Moshe want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Rav Leibler says the bottom of the first column, going on to the second column. He says Moshe wanted, as Chazal say, like Maran Sota, Moshe wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael purely for spiritual reasons. Right? He wanted it for all of the right reasons. So why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say yes to Moshe Rabbeinu? So take a look, please, in the left column. Let's go about 6-7 lines down. So he says, it must be, Amnam. The line that begins with the word Nismale. You see that about 7-8 lines down, the left column. So he says about halfway through that line. Amnam mizeh gufa yucho kol adam liros eich gavo v'nistru machshavos av yisbarach shalom mikol min anosh. From the fact that we sometimes ask for ruchnias, we ask for Beis HaMikdash, we ask for Eretz Yisrael, we ask for Geula, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu still says no. From here we actually learn the greatness of Tefillah. This is the Parsha of Tefillah. This is Ve'es Chanan. Why? At she'ein machshavos shum nivra tfisa beklal. Lo machshavos sai machshavos seichem, like we read on every public fasting. We don't understand the Haftorah. We don't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. Sha'afilu Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Muvchar HaBruim She'nimsru Kol Memtes Shari Bina Moshe, who understood everything and anything as much as anyone could. Im Kol Zeh Lo Higiel Losov Daito Yisbarach Shalom. He couldn't understand why Hashem would turn him down. And if Moshe couldn't understand, the Torah is teaching us, don't feel bad yourself if you've been turned down. Ve'yishivu Al Tefillah Ravlach. What was Hashem saying to Moshe? Rav Lach wasn't go away, stop bothering me. Rav Lach was, Moshe, you want something big? I'll give you something even bigger. Like Chazal say, Harbe mizeh shomer lecha rav tuv hatzafan lecha. Moshe, you can't even begin to imagine what I have in store for you. So you think, I need Eretz Yisrael. That's, so to speak, going to be the peak of everything that I've been working towards. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. I'm going to accept your tefillah. You want something big? I'll give you something bigger. Shebe'emes niskabla tfilaso, says Rav Leibler. Shebe'emes niskabla tfilaso, his tefillah was answered, it was received. Mipnei shehashem yisbarach tzafal omek ratzon Moshe. What do you really want, Moshe? You want a great opportunity? You want spiritual heights? I'll give that to you. I'm going to turn you down from entering Eretz Yisrael. But I'm going to give you, really, in a different way, everything you're asking for and more. Concludes Rav Leibler, the line that begins with the words Moshe Rabbeinu, about 8 lines from the end of the paragraph. Umizeh yuchal kol nefesh Yisrael. The line begins nefesh. Nefesh Yisrael likach kal v'chomer la'atzmo li'eschazek tamid b'tefillah. If this is not going to be mechazek us in tefillah, says Rav Leibler, nothing will. Believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a calculation. And whether you're asking for gashmias or whether you're asking for ruchnias, Hashem keeps the score. And no tefillah is being ignored. It's being precisely calculated. Ki la'olam ha'tefillah nishmas lefnei Hashem yisparach. Gam imu nichse me'enei seichel ha'tzoik. Even if the mind of the one who's crying out doesn't understand. You daven for a person who's sick and they don't get better. And you can't understand, what does Hashem want? How does that make any sense? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what He's doing. It's hard for us. But don't think, God forbid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't listening. Ki lo yuchal ha'adam ledas ad heichan higia mevukasho. We can't even begin to understand how far our tefillos go. And Rav Leibler concludes by saying, Ein shum tefillah shelo tasa roshem. There's no tefillah that doesn't leave a mark. And Moshe himself seems to admit to this. As he says later in the Parsha, Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krov me'elav kashem elokeinu. B'chol kareinu elav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close, He's always listening. Moshe, you're the one who declares that after 515 seemingly rejected tefillos. And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Rav Lach, trust me, I know what you want, and I'm going to work it out. You may not have the eyes to see it right now, even you, Moshe Rabbeinu. But I promise you that it's not haphazard, that I run the world, that I run it with a very precise midas hadin, and everything that you desire and more is going to be given to you. I want to try to flesh out this idea. A beautiful piece from Rav Leibler Eger, and truly it's enough to spend the night just thinking about this. But I want to look at a few other sources in the Parsha where it talks about Moshe's 515 tefillos. What was the nature of these 515 tefillos that he davened? Where's the source that he davened so much? What happened to those tefillos if in fact they were answered? Right, what are we to learn from it if in fact they were somewhat rejected? So let's go straight to the Pesukim in source number 3. The parsha begins, the Eschana begins, Parak Gimel, Pasuk of Gimel, Moshe pleaded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokim, Ata hachi losa laharos es avdecha, es godlecha ves yadcha chazaka, Hashem, I've just begun to see your wonders. Give me a little more time. See the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. I think the Ralbag points this out. That look at Moshe's humility. After a life of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata hachi losa, I've just begun, I'm just getting started. Right? Hashem, you think this is the end of my life? I'm just getting started. You have so many wondrous things that I'd like to learn from, to see. Allow me to cross into Eretz Yisrael, to see the good land, to see the wonders that you're going to perform in that land. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry, as Moshe says in Pasuk Chavav, Vayomer Hashem Elai, Rav Lach. Stop. You have enough. Al Tosif Daber Elai Od B'davar Hazeh. Nothing more. Nothing more for you to say. Stop right there. How much did Moshe daven? I mentioned a moment ago, 515 tefillos. That's a medrash. The medrash says, interestingly, it's actually a medrash not in Veschanah, that's a little bit later in the medrash Rabban, Devarim Rabba. Uminayin shespalo Moshe ba'osa perek, source number 4, chamesh me'os v'chamesh asar pa'amim. Moshe davened 515 tefillos. We'll explain in a minute what that maybe looked like. But 515 tefillos. Have we ever in our life davened 515 times for something we really wanted? Not just once, not just twice. Not Hashem, you know, for a week. I'll really focus on this during Shemona Esrei. To get up again and again, 515 tefillos. How do we know that Moshe davened 515 tefillos, asks the Medrash? Shenamar, that's what the Pasuk says. Ve'eschanan el Hashem ba'esahi lemor. Ve'eschanan b'gamatria hachi havei. Chazal say the gematria of the word ve'eschanan is 515. So apparently that's an indicator that when Moshe pleaded with Hashem, it was 515 tefillos. Again, what's the nature of these 515 tefillos? So the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, in his Aderes Eliyahu, comments on these 515 tefillos. Kedarko B'Kodesh, the Vilna Gaon's words are very terse. He doesn't write at length. Hard to understand exactly what he's saying. And I've seen it recorded, I've seen it explained in two different ways. One sefer I saw of Yisrael Yaakov Lubchansky, Hashem Yinkom Damo, a tzaddik who died was a mashkiach in Rav Elchanan Wasserman's yeshiva in Branovich. He died al kiddush Hashem. He died in the Holocaust. So he has a small sefer called Ikve Yisrael. He says, what does it mean? The way he understood the Gra, 515 tefillos means that Moshe davened 515 different nuschos. Now again, I don't know exactly what that means. Ashkenaz, Sfard, Nusachari, you know, the Svardi Kubalim Sidurim with all those names of Hashem all over the place. I'm not sure what it means, 515 different nuschos, but it wasn't 515 times he said the same thing. Moshe was trying, each time Moshe had a different angle, a different approach. How can I convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu to let me into Eretz Yisrael? He didn't just come, you know, sometimes a kid comes to a parent. Right? Can I have a cookie? No. Please? No. Please? No. Please? Right? There's not like a different angle. It's just, I hope I wear down my parents enough that they'll give me ice cream before supper. Or they'll give me the cookie when really it's time to be brushing my teeth. Moshe Rabbeinu, each time he davened, was a different mahalach and tefillah. A totally different tefillah. Each time a different nusach, a different angle, a different perspective of why he should be brought into Eretz Yisrael. And each time Hashem said, no, 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 no. That's how Rav Yisrael Yaakov Lubchansky in the Ikve Yisrael seems to explain the Grah. I saw Rav Zalman Saratsky in Oznayim LaTorah understood the Grah a little bit differently. And again, it could be it's just subject to interpretation. The girl, again, is hard to read inside, in the Aderes Eliyahu. He says there really was one tefillah. Moshe davened one tefillah that had, so to speak, built into it 515 dimensions. It wasn't that he davened 515 Shemona Esrei's. Well, actually, we'll see in a moment, we'll make reference to the fact that some try to calculate when he davened these 515 tefillos, which implies that it really was 515 separate tefillos. But the Oznayim LaTorah of Zalman Saratsky thinks it was one tefillah that was packed with, so to speak, 515 levels of kavanah. But either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, enough, it's not working, you need to stop. Rav lach al tosef daber elai od b'davar hazeh, and that's it. Now, this number 515 is not a number that the Chazal, it's a strange medrash, going back to the medrash we saw. Veschanan is 515, so that's how you know, Moshe davened 515. I need to speak just for a moment, because if you look in some of the deeper Svarim, this number 515 comes up again and again and again, and it has many applications and expressions when we think about tefillah. Okay, I'll give you a quick list, again, without really elaborating on each of these, but just to show you that the number 515 and this word Veschanan, which is, again, this ultimate word of tefillah, that's supposed to be mechazik us, like Rav Leib Leger said, not to let us feel that Moshe tried and failed, But to feel that we tried and maybe made some headway, this number 515 is a very significant number. Again, if you look in some of the deeper works of Hasidus. First of all, it's pointed out that the very word tefillah itself, spelled properly without the yud, taf pei lamed hei, is gematria 515. As if to say the very essence of tefillah is ve'eschanan. That this concept, again, whether it's 515 separate tefillahs or one tefillah with some energy of 515 tefillahs, but so to speak, Moshe Davin, the ultimate tefillah. It was the greatest expression of tefillah maybe possible. When we think about a couple, we think about the Avos and the Imos, and we think about tefillah, and each of them, right? Look in Chazal, the Gemara says in Brachos, the Avos were attacking the different tefillos. But we think about a power couple in tefillah. When we think about a power couple, Yitzchak and Rivka. Says the B'nai Yisaschar, the Tefillah Melech of Dinov. The Dinov writes in his Agra the Kalis, his writings on Chumash. He says Yitzchak and Rivka were the ultimate couple. They davened one opposite the other. Right? They davened together for a child. So says the Agra the Kala, Yitzchak plus Rivka is also Gematria 515. It was a perfect marriage of tefillah. It was a chibur of tefillah, a marriage that was built around tefillah. The Baal Turim points out that the word shira is also 515. Look at Rashi at the beginning of Brachos on Davav, where Rashi says that when you walk into shul, tefillah is supposed to be an expression of shira. So again, you see this concept of 515 coming up in many ways when we think about tefillah. Yafet Talmud Torah im derech eretz. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Yafet Talmud Torah. It's good to have Talmud Torah if you're going to learn, Gevaldik. But you also need derech eretz. What's derech eretz? According to many, it means a profession. Some say it means midos tovos. Others say derech eretz is sometimes seen as a reference in Chazal. It's used as a code word for tefillah. And therefore, again, not surprisingly, the gematria of derech eretz is 515. And last but not least, I just want to say for Chaim Shel Torah and Parshas Pinchas, we know that tefillah is in place of karbanos today. And therefore, each carbon which was brought precisely in its way, in its time, lahakriv li b'moado, as it says in Parshas Pinchas, lahakriv li b'moado is also 515. So our tefillah in place of karbanos, Yitzchak and Rivka, Shira. Right? When a person davens, at least for the men in the room, when a person goes to daven, and he takes, so to speak, his kalim to daven, right? His weapons as he goes out to fight for himself, for Klal Yisrael, for Kadosh Baruch Hu, he takes his tefillah shel yad and his tefillah shel rosh. Right, so some Svarim point out that the gematria of Yad plus Rosh is also 515. So again, everything that we're doing is trying to tap into that awesome, that perfected tefillah, and Moshe seems to hit the home run. V'eschanan el Hashem, 515 tefillahs. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nope, you daven maybe the perfect tefillah, tefillah is gematria 515, v'eschanan is 515, you did everything you could. You sang from the depths of your heart, Shira is 515, right? You did everything you could. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it doesn't seem to work, it doesn't seem to go. Rav Lach, stop right there. Now some Svarim point out that had Moshe not been mevatel himself to Hashem, had Moshe had a bit of holy chutzpah, if you will, and would have pushed to daven one more tefillah, and again, many Svarim develop this, I just want to be meramis to it, that had Moshe davened a single additional tefillah, that would have, so to speak, you know, been the straw that broke the camel's back. Kadosh Baruch Hu would have given in at that point, had Moshe davened one more time. And that's why Hashem says, Rav, please don't ask again, because if you do ask again, it's almost mashir from the pasuk, Hashem says, that I'm going to have to respond. Where do we find such an idea? The Pnei Yoshua, in his writings on Maseches Brachos, and Daf Lamed Beis and Aleph, actually brings this idea. First, the Pnei Yoshua has a very interesting calculation. He cheshbens from the time Moshe began davening until his death. Moshe calculates how many times the Pnei Yoshua calculates how many times Moshe would have davened Shmona Esrei, taking into consideration Shabbos and Yom Tov and different things, and he comes up with a cheshbon of 515. So he calculates that Moshe was actually not at one time, even though the pasuk says Vayeschanan El Hashem Be'isahi, sounds maybe like he got up one afternoon and just kept fighting with Hashem, right? But the Pnei Yoshua has an interesting calculation. He says, no, this actually played itself out over the last portion of Moshe's life in Chumash Devarim. But then he says something, again, it's a little bit cryptic, somewhat b'derech haremez, but take a look, please, at source number 5. Says the Pnei Yoshua, Uvidrush ha'aleisi od shezeh perish pasuk rav loch al tosef daber elai od. She'ilu hispalol Moshe od tefila achas. Had Moshe tried to tip the scale, had he gone for 516, then it could have been that it would have worked. What's 516? We spent so much time explaining 515. What's 516? He says 516 is 6 oles vav pa'amim kiminyan elokim. 6 times elokim. Six times Hashem's name of strict justice. What does that have to do with anything? Hayamamtik b'zevav bateidin and had Moshe daven this final tefillah, he would have softened the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the six houses of judgment that are described in the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. V'hayanena b'tefillasam, and Moshe would have been answered. Again, it's very cryptic, and we're not going to get into the whole Arichas now, but if you look in the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Nun Heyam at Aleph, the Gemara over there, in Perek B'Mebehema, says, explaining a pasuk in Yechezkel, that when Hashem came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, He sent angels of destruction. And these angels, each one came with a different type of Midas HaDin, a different type of divine wrath. Ketzef, and Af, and Chema, and Mashchis, each one came with a different, so to speak, a different based in of angels coming to pour out their wrath on the Beis HaMikdash. And had Moshe davened 516 tefillos, right? Had he davened one more, then so to speak, these six powers of din would have been negated, could have been overpowered by Moshe's tefillah, and maybe he would have broken all of the Midas HaDin and allowed himself, his personal Gzar Din, to go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So again, this is just one example, but you get the sense from the Pnei Yeshua and other Sfarim as well, that 515 tefillos at the end of the day was worthless. 516 would have made it happen. 515, B'derech HaPshat, Moshe, you wasted your time. You thought it was the perfect tefillah, but it was a waste of time. Nothing happened. 515 tefillos, and nothing came from it. But as we saw from Rav Leib Laiga, that's not how a Jew lives his life. A Jew doesn't pour out his heart, whether it's on a regular day, or whether it's on a Tisha B'Av, or a Yom Kippur, or a Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't matter when it is. When a Jew communicates with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have to believe, not that, oh, I was just short. If I would have pushed a little more, then my tefillah would have been something, and now my tefillah is utterly worthless. We have to believe that every time we open our mouth, that every time we try to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he's a God, as Rav Leib Laiga said in the last line, that Moshe says, Ki mi goy gadol. What other nation has a God that's so close? I want to tell you a pshat I thought of a couple months ago when I was reciting Ashrei one day. Pasuk says, we know the pasuk well. Right, Tehillah L'David, I guess is really the right name for the, we call it Ashrei. In source number 6. Karov Hashem l'chol karov l'chol asher yikru'u ve'emes. How does a Jew, and to what degree does a Jew believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is listening? Well, the pasuk's clear. Karov Hashem l'chol karov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to all who call out to Him. But then, says the pasuk, hold on, we have to qualify that. Right? It's not so simple. L'chol Hashem yikra'u be'emes. If you daven with sincerity, if you call out to Him in an honest way, in a sincere way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very close. So Hashem is open. Yes, Karov Hashem l'chol karov. Hashem is open to hear anyone, as long as you're very sincere. So in theory, it's a great pasuk. In theory, if we would just daven, you know, be'emes, so then we would be answered. How many of us can say that we daven be'emes? How many of us can say that we're able to have kavana in Shmona Esrei from beginning to end? Or even in one bracha from beginning to end? It's a strange halach in Shulchan Aruch. It's a very sad halach in Shulchan Aruch. What's the halach if you don't have kavana at the beginning of Shmona Esrei, in the first brachos? Ne'ikar adin. You need to repeat. You need to repeat Shmona Esrei. The Ramah says, Bizman is that we don't do that. You know why? What's going to happen? So you daven Shmona Esrei, you realize, I spaced out the whole first section of Shmona Esrei. The halacha says, I should repeat Shmona Esrei. The Ramah says, don't bother. You know why? Because you're going to do it again. You're going to say, oh, then now I'm really going to reel it in and start concentrating. And then you're going to space out again. And you'll say the brachas again, and then you'll start again, and again. You'll never get it. So already in the times of the Ramah was basically giving up on the possibility of us having kavana. Bizman is that. Read studies that have come out the last year and a half. Since the year 2000, when cell phones really, took off, that every person was carrying a cell phone. Since, so to speak, the mobile revolution. In the year 2000, it was estimated, studies showed that the average attention span of a human being was 12 seconds. 12 seconds. Okay? Today, studies that have come out in the last year and a half, show that the average attention span now that we're so digitally advanced, is about 8 seconds. It's believed, science believes, studies indicate, again I'm not sure how they do these types of studies, that a goldfish has the attention span of 9 seconds. Which means that the average human being today has less of an attention span than the common goldfish. So now, the pasuk says, if you daven to me, be'emes, of course I'll listen to you. Thank you very much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that basically slams the door in our face. So a couple months ago, I thought of the following pshat. I'll read the pasuk a little different. It's obviously not a pasuk pshat. Read it a little bit ba'ofen chasidi, and you'll see if you like the pshat. Let's read it almost as a shakla v'tarya. Right? The pasuk tells us, Karav Hashem l'chol karav.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to all who call out to Him. Ask the Pasuk, almost rhetorically, quizzically, are you serious? L'chol asher yikro? To everyone who calls out to Him? And the Pasuk responds, yes, be'emes. Be'emes, you have to believe that. Karav Hashem l'kol. Karav Hashem l'kol karav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to everyone. L'chol asher yikro? Everyone, even me, with my 8-second attention span. And David HaMelech says to us, yes, be'emes. You have to believe it, be'emes. It's so hard to believe. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't seem to get his tefillos answered. So why should I believe be'emes? Why should I take it to heart? Right, the be'emes is going on us. Why should I believe that my tefillos are not in vain? Why should I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually listening? If Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get it done. It's hard for us to believe be'emes. It's hard for us to accept be'emes that Hashem is listening. Karav Hashem l'kolka, l'chol asher yikro, to everyone, yes, be'emes, it's true, you have to believe it. Even someone who only sought the goodness of the Jewish people once erred in this, who was one of the greatest defenders of Klal Yisrael, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. Every story about the Berdichever, he was called the Sanegura Shel Yisrael, the one who always defended Klal Yisrael, to be Malam Yitzchus on Klal Yisrael, whatever he could do to petition the Shemayim that the Jews are great and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should love us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should provide for us. The Berdichever once walked into a shul. Again, this was the person who always was Malam Yitzchus. He once walked into a shul and he saw a fellow davening. And he was mamish, he was racing through the words, mumbling the words. So the Berdichever said, I'm going to teach him a lesson. He walks over to this fellow and he says to him, the guy says, Rabbi, excuse me, I'm sorry. He says, Rabbi, I have no idea. Can you slow down a little bit? I have no idea what you're saying. So he says, well, that's how you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe you could slow down a little bit. And maybe you could pronounce the words a little more clearly, enunciate a little bit. And the fellow turned to the Berdichever and he said, Rabbi, if I may, let me give you a mashal. You know, when a child starts to speak, a child has his own language, right? A little baby has his own language. So when our 17-month-old Yaakov, right, says chocho, I know he wants chala. Now you might not know that because you're not his father, you're not his mother, you're not one of his siblings. But a parent knows how to interpret the words of a child, even if it's not so clear. So he said back to the Berdichever, he said, Avinu Shabbat Shemayim knows how to hear my words. He says, you're right, maybe lechatchila, maybe it's ideal, I should slow down, and I should pronounce a little more clearly, a little bit more intelligible. But ani mamim b'muna shleim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my father, Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, is able to hear my words. And the Berdichever loved it, he took it, he said, I'm going to take that, I'm going to use that to fight for Klal Yisrael afterwards. He was very taken by that. But even someone like the Berdichever, it was hard to believe that if we're just mumbling the words, right? If our mind is racing, if we're all over the place, it's hard to believe be'emes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us. So I want to try to discuss for a couple minutes, we only have a few minutes left, what happened to Moshe's tefillos? What happened to those 515 tefillos? Right? He didn't get into Eretz Yisrael, that much is clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Rav Lach, Pei Yeshua says, one more maybe would have done something, but 515 seems like it was lost. What happened to those 515 tefillos? So I'll tell you an amazing story. Brought in several Svarim, an encounter that took place between the Belzer Rebbe and Rav Elchanan Wasserman. There used to be, actually there still is, there's a resort town in the Czech Republic called Marienbad. And many of the Rebbes and Rashi Yeshiva and big Talmid Chacham used to go there and they would gather there. And there's many famous tales and stories and conversations that emerge from various gatherings in this resort town. Even the Rashi Yeshiva need a break once in a while, even a Rebbe, you know, who holds his Hasidic court all year round, needs a break once in a while. This is where they used to go to relax, to vacation a little bit. The air was very clear there. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman and the Belzer Rebbe once encountered themselves there. And it was this time of the year. They're going on summer vacation. So they started talking about the 515 tefillos. Why does the Medrash say that? Eschanan, Zgmatria 515, what's that about? What's it really alluding to? So the Belzer Rebbe told Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan was very nispal from this. He thought this was a brilliant insight. The Belzer Rebbe told Rav Elchanan, I'll tell you what I think the secret of 515 tefillos is. He says, if you look in the Svarim HaKadoshim, some Midrashim even bring this version, it's a question if we have this in our Midrashim. It says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought about building the Beis HaMikdash, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu entertained the possibility of a Beis HaMikdash, Hashem came from Shemayim with His machana, with His whole encampment of angels, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu got things started. He laid the foundation, He built the first wall for us, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came with a machana and built the first wall. Okay, so the Belzer Rebbe says, the gematria of machana is 103. Avram Avinu came along and Avram said, I'm going to help build the Beis HaMikdash also. How did Avram refer to the Makom HaMikdash? He called it a har. Har, with the kolel, plus one,
Okay, that also takes some time to explain. We've got to be off by one in gematria. Har is 2 times, right? 2 times machane, 2 times 103. So Avram built the next wall. What did Yitzchak call the Makom Mikdash? No, who knows? Sada. What's Sada? 309, another 103. What did Yaakov call the Mikdash? Yaakov called it a bias. Bias is 412. That's another wall. So now we've got 4 walls. Says the Belzer Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu came along, and he wanted to add that last piece, so to speak, the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe davened 515 tefillos, to so to speak, put that last 103, that last piece on top, that last wall of the Mikdash. And that's the story as it's brought. Now there's different versions of what the conclusion is. So what happens? So you could say, one way to end the story, is that Moshe davened his 515 tefillos. Moshe never went into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe never built the Beis HaMikdash. But Moshe, so to speak, along with Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and even HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod of Atzmo, so to speak, laid the spiritual foundation for Shlomo Melech to actually build a physical bias. That it wasn't in vain. That everything Moshe did eventually was poel, and the time came many years after the Jews left Mitzrayim, like it says in Sefer Malachim, I think 480 years after they left Mitzrayim, bias Rishon was built. And that was all bizchus, those people who had come before and so to speak had sort of etched out the walls and laid that spiritual foundation for the Beis HaMikdash. That's one way to say it. I think there's another way to say it. And this could really be mechazek us in our avodah. Maybe Moshe's 515 tefillos didn't work out. Maybe Moshe couldn't put the roof on the Beis HaMikdash. The truth is, I saw once in a sefer, and I can't remember exactly where, that you need a roof and you also need a floor. You also need a floor to the Beis HaMikdash. So where do we get the roof? Who's going to put the roof? Who's going to put the floor? Who's going to put the roof? Who's going to put the floor? Maybe we need to put the roof and we need to put the floor. Right? Maybe we need to add that last 103, so to speak, that machana on top and the machana on the bottom. Kadosh Baruch Hu came and put the first machana, built the first wall. Right? It's interesting, that word machana is the same letters as what? As nechama. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. All the Sfarim say this Shabbos we come to what? The possibility of a double nechama. We can add the nechama on top and the nechama on the bottom. We can add that last wall, so to speak, on top and that last piece, so to speak, on the bottom. It could be we, Moshe Rabbeinu, wasn't able to truly be poel with his tefillos to finish building the Beis HaMikdash. But that doesn't mean we should stop trying. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu would want us to continue to build that Beis HaMikdash, to believe that we have the possibility of building it, even if his tefillos were, so to speak, to our eye, rejected. But I'll tell you a different pshat in the 515 tefillos. And this is brought by Rav Asher Weiss in his Minchas Asher, in source number 7, in his Sichos al Torah in this week's Parsha. He says an amazing thing. Again, it's also a calculation, but you could see how all the people, all the different tzaddikim from earlier generations, from people of Zman Hazeh, like Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, they're all trying to figure out Moshe's tefillos can't be in vain. So look what he calculates. I'll share it with you outside because our time is very limited. He says, how many years is the world supposed to last? You look in the Gemara, in the Avodah Zarah, in the Masechta Sanhedrin, it says that the world is divided into 3 sections of 2,000 years. 2,000 years before Torah, 2,000 years of Torah, 2,000 years of the Yimbos of Mashiach. The world is supposed to last 6,000 years. Rav Asher says, with his great Bekiyas, he says, if you look in the Yotzer, some people say the special Piyutim in the back of the Siddur, before Shavuos, or if you look in the Medrash Osios Derbi Akiva, it gives a different number. 6,093. The world is supposed to last 6,093 years. So says Rav Asher Weiss a beautiful thing. Moshe davened in the 40th year, since the Jews left Mitzrayim. This was the last year of Moshe's life. It was the year 2488. How much time was there from the time Moshe davened this tefillah till the end, so to speak, of time? To 6,093. 3,605 years. Says Rav Asher Weiss, 3,605 years is exactly 515 Shemitah cycles. Says Rav Asher, let's read where it's bolded. Look what he writes. He says where it's bolded. The line that begins Uvamakum in source number 7. Uvamakum lahanas l'vakashasu l'ichanes l'Eretz Yisrael. Instead of answering Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, listen, Moshe, you could go to Eretz Yisrael, but I'll give you a different offer. You stay out of Eretz Yisrael, and I'll take these 515 tefillos. And so to speak, the cycles of Jewish life, the Shemitah cycles, from now until the end of time, Klal Yisrael will be protected b'schus your tefillah. Hatzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu tefillos eilu l'kendeses Yisrael laftiach ki lo sishachach mipi zara. Uvnei Yisrael yagiu b'shalom shleimim b'torasim b'munasim l'keitz hayamim. I'll use your tefillahs to carry Klal Yisrael to literally the end of days. And Moshe, so to speak, accepted the offer. Says the Rav Asher, the second to last line, V'advar mavhilim, what a wondrous thing. Tefillasov shel Moshe lo yatzu rekam. Moshe's tefillahs weren't in vain. It didn't work for Moshe. It didn't get him exactly what he wanted. But he was happy to trade that in for protection for Klal Yisrael all the way to the Achris HaYamim. It's an unbelievable way to look at it. That the tefillah sometimes doesn't work exactly right here, right now, the way that I want it to work. But to believe that eventually, no tefillah is in vain, it will be polo. It will express itself at some later point. I read an article about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago maybe now, a news piece. It was titled, Associated Press, Letter Written in Maine 83 Years Ago Delivered. Listen to this piece of news. A letter written in Maine, by a Maine school teacher in 1931 to her mother 150 miles away has finally been delivered 83 years later. 23-year-old Miriam McMichael sent the 9-page letter from Holton to Delana McMichael in Pittsfield. Both women have since died. This is 2014. The letter was lost and only recently found in the Pittsfield post office. Postal worker Michelle Rowell found it and tells the Morning Sentinel that she knew it was old because of the 2-cent stamp. The postmaster and town officials tracked down the family, and the letter is now in the hands of 69-year-old Anne McMichael of Cornville, Miriam's niece and Delana's granddaughter. Listen to this. McMichael says the irony is that the writer apologized for not writing sooner. 83 years later. Nu, Hameivin Yavin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes our tefillos. Sometimes he sends it back right away, and sometimes he holds it for a long time. Moshe Rabbeinu's 515 tefillos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu held on to them for a very long time. But again, we have to believe that every tefillah we cried, and every tefillah we offered on Tisha B'Av, we have to believe it's adding another piece, so to speak, to that mikdash. And we come to Shabbos Nachmu saying, maybe Nachmu, Nachmu, Nechama on top, Nechama on the bottom, those last two walls, so to speak, to build the base of mikdash once and for all. In the Pardes Yosef, in this week's Parsha, in source number 8, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu begged us never to give up. And he says, what's the inyan of the smichas, the question that sort of we began with, that Rav Leibel Eger began with. What's the smichas? Why is it that Parshas Eschanan always corresponds with Parshas Nachmu? He says an amazing thing, B'shem, the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe. The Pardes Yosef says, because if you read through Eicha tells us about our rejected tefillos. Eicha tells us, Gam ki azak v'ashaveya sasam tefillos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects our tefillos. The pasuk we saw from Rav Yonasan Eifshitz, Sakosa ba'anan lach me'avor tefillah, that cloud that blocks our tefillos from ascending. V'eschanan el Hashem, Moshe, you davened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rav lach, you're not allowed. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Beis Yisrael, why does it say V'eschanan el Hashem be'esahi leimor? What's the leimor? What do you need the word leimor? As Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to us, leimor, keep saying, keep saying. Don't read Megillas Eicha on Tisha B'Av and say Hashem rejects tefillos. Don't read Parshas V'eschanan and say HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects tefillos. Believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to be mekabel our tefillos. So I'll just end with the final source, a beautiful quote from Shlomo Karbach. I had one more amazing story, but I'll have to save it for another time. I have to start Ma'ariv in about 30 seconds. But I'll just end with this beautiful teaching from Shlomo, B'shem Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Why do our tefillos sometimes not work? You know why? Because we have a backup plan. We say, Hashem, you know, we want the base of Mikdash, we want the Gula Shlema, but you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a backup plan also. If things don't work out, we'll go along with this alternate plan. Says Rav Shlomo Karbach, the truth is that God listens to every prayer, but sometimes while I'm praying, I'm already making plans of what to do if God doesn't help me. So God says, listen, brother, do your thing. I don't want to disturb your plans. You sit there and teach what you say, base of Mikdash would be nice. If it doesn't work out, I'm already planning a road trip with a couple of my friends, and we're going to go here, we're going to go there, and this is how we're going to spend the rest of the summer. But if you're already planning not spending the rest of the summer in Yerushalayim, Hashem says, listen, I don't want to get in the way. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo, we still think we're as bold that we can manage without the base of Mikdash, without the Holy Temple. We still think we can manage without Mashiach's coming. He says, I look at my daughter, and I say, I wish Mashiach could be her Rebbe, but if not, I'll send her to this school, I'll send her to that school. But imagine, he says in the last three lines, what would happen if I stood before Hashem and said, Ribono Sha'ol, my mamish need the Mashiach, because I have nobody else to send my daughter to study with. Imagine if there are no backup plans. Imagine if we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need it, and we're not making other arrangements. We're putting it all out on the table. He says, then the Mashiach would mamish be here. So Mirza Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer our tefillos. We should believe that the tefillos were Powell. We should believe that the tefillos will be Powell. And Mirza Hashem, in the schus of taking this message to heart, Barav Hashem l'chol krav l'chol asher yikrol be'emes, to believe be'emes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening, we will in fact be zocha to find that double nechama and to see the gula shleim of Meher v'yaminu.